Hey, everybody, it's Andy. Welcome or welcome back to the Decatur City Church Podcast. At the end of this episode, we would love it if you would take just a moment to download the Decatur City Church app, where you can find access to all of our recent message content. And the app is the easiest way to share this content with a friend. But most importantly, I hope you enjoy the following presentation, and I hope it inspires you to take your next step in your faith journey.
If you guys were with us a couple of weeks ago, you know that today we're kind of landing the plane on this little series we've been in, which I gotta say has been a ton of fun, right? Like, have you guys had fun? Yeah. I mean, I had so much fun, I even untucked my shirt. Where's Aaron? Come on. No, seriously, I think if church had been like this when I was growing up, I would have actually wanted to go to church. I mean, this has been incredible. But we've been in this series called Your Life is a Joke. And just in case you weren't with us at the beginning, I am in no way saying that you are a joke or that your life is some kind of a joke. I feel like that would be like really mean to say, and I honestly don't feel like I have the authority to say that. But what we have been talking about is I think we can all relate to this idea. You know, the idea where we look back at like a regret or maybe a bad decision or, you know, bad season of our life, you know, whatever it was. And we have that feeling where we go, what was I thinking? Like, how did that happen? We've all woken up and had that pit in our stomach as we kind of look around at the aftermath of the party. You know, we kind of look around at the wreckage and we're like, oh no, like, did that just happen? Is this some kind of a joke? And we kind of dove into this a couple weeks ago. We looked at the life of a guy named King Solomon that we read about on the pages of the Old Testament. And what we discovered is that when we look back, you know, that kind of hindsight rule, we look back, it's like, oh yeah, you know, I know exactly where I went wrong. Like, I know where I messed up. And we talked about what's interesting is rarely, if ever, you know, do we walk into that bad decision or make that mistake because of a lack of information, right? Like, when we look back, we think, nope, I had all the information, I have all the experience, but yet we still ended up at a place where we didn't want to be. And what we talked about was that we don't need more information. Like, we don't need more wisdom, we don't need more experience. We need to learn to look outside of ourselves for wisdom. Like, we need to start looking in another location for more or even better wisdom. And what we need to do is we need to start taking a step towards our Heavenly Father. We said it this way a couple weeks ago. We said we need to literally acknowledge Him. And what that means is we need to start kind of thinking differently about some things. For many of us, it means we need to start believing some new things or believing differently. And in fact, several of you, you know, kind of walked away after a couple of weeks ago and you've really started evaluating. This is what we talked about. Like, you started evaluating, you know, where you're tempted to put your trust. You know, like, am I tempted to trust myself or am I willing to trust God with the different areas of your life? And you're kind of at that place where you're like, hey, I'm willing to actually acknowledge God in some areas where I wasn't before. You know, I'm willing to actually take a step towards Him. I'm willing to maybe believe some new things. And some of us are trying on some new thoughts or some new beliefs. But here's the thing. Like, and I think we know this, and this is kind of where we're headed today. Believing differently, like, isn't enough, right? Like, simply having some new beliefs or having some new thoughts, you know, that's not enough, right? Like, we know this when it comes to exercise, right? Like, anybody willing to admit that they believe that exercise is bad for you? No, like, we all believe exercise is what we should do, right? Like, we all believe we should eat right, right? You know, some of us believe all the way to the point that, like, we subscribe to the workout program, you know, we download it onto our computer, we even press play and sit back and watch the thing, you know, and we're like, I believe it's good for me, right? I believe that I want to have a good marriage. Like, I even believe that I've got some good ideas about how to be a good spouse, you know, or I believe a lot of things about money, you know, but yet here I am, I'm still like a financial wreck, you know? And in fact, many of us, this kind of describes our, you know, church experience, if you will. You know, many of us have been in church for ages, right? Like, some of us have heard every sermon there is to hear. In fact, some of you are thinking, like, I think I could do a better job. I've heard so many sermons, and maybe we should talk, because maybe you could. But you've heard them all. In fact, you've been in church long enough that you believe some new things, right? But yet, you keep kind of making the same old mistakes. Like, those regrets keep happening. You keep waking up wondering, like, what? Like, what is going on? Like, I don't seem to be able to sustain any kind of life change. In fact, some of you, this is why you left church. Because your church experience growing up was kind of like this. You had two parents that would wake you up on a Sunday morning. Because we gotta be at church. We gotta be there. But sure enough, this Sunday, just like every other Sunday, mom and dad wake you up and they are fighting. They are at one another. They fight like all the way to church. They fight all the way through the parking lot. And then this happened every week. Their hand would like rest on the door of the church. And like as soon as the door opened, it was like, ta-da, perfect marriage. Look at us. Like, we believe all these things about marriage. And they would walk in and you're sitting there. You're like, what in the world? Like, who are these people? And then sure enough, as soon as the church door closed, they fought all the way back. They fought about the sermon, They fought all the way back to the car, fought all the way home, fought all the way to next Sunday. And the whole time you're thinking, does this work? Like, this isn't worth it, right? We're like wasting our time. Like, you guys believe a whole bunch of stuff, but like your marriage stinks. Like, I don't want a marriage like that, And you're thinking, you're miserable. I'm miserable. Like, if we're going to be miserable, could we just be miserable like up at the lake? Like, that just feels like a better place to be miserable if none of this stuff is going to work. And so you literally, like, when you were old enough, that's what you did. You went to the lake. You turned your back on God. You turned your back on Jesus. You said, the church, like, that doesn't work. And the problem is, like, it's not church. Like, the problem is, it's not God. The problem isn't Jesus. The problem is we were kind of sold something that doesn't work. We were sold this routine. Like we were told that like somehow if we would just show up, if we would go through the motions of being at church, like if we'd be dedicated and attend, and if we would even think some new things, and like if we would even believe some new things, that somehow like that concoction or that mixture would work together, like this routine mixed with new beliefs, and somehow everything would work out. Like, we'd have this better life. We'd have this life where we didn't make mistakes, or we had fewer regrets, or we weren't worried about the decisions because all of a sudden, like, our belief was right. But, like, that doesn't work, right? Like we know that. We can all agree, right? We've all tried that, and that doesn't work. And here's why it doesn't work. We're missing, like, a crucial piece of the equation. You see, believing is fantastic. Like it's important for us to believe right things. It's important to think right things. But you can have all the belief you want and still not have the life that you want. Now, it may surprise you, but actually the New Testament is filled with this kind of teaching. In fact, two people in particular in the New Testament taught about this a lot. One of them, it was actually Jesus. Jesus taught a lot about this idea of how important belief is, but that, like, we can't stop there. We've got to add something on to our belief in order to make this whole thing work. But another person who talked about this a lot, and this is where we're going to camp out today, was actually his younger brother. His younger brother was named James, and James wrote a letter to a bunch of first century new Christians that we actually have recorded for us in the New Testament, and James talks all about this. And so what I want to do, I want us to spend a few minutes this morning kind of reading how James unpacks this for us and how he talks about this idea of belief, kind of plus something else. And then if we have time, I want to come back and I want to read to you how Jesus would sum all of this up for us. So here we go. We're going to jump right in. We're going to be in James chapter 1. It's towards the back of your New Testament if you have that with you. If not, we're going to put all the scripture up on the screen. So here we go. James says, hey, do not merely, like as in only, don't only listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Now, I think that's interesting because when I hear that, I immediately kind of think, well, James, how does listening to the word cause, deception? Like, what do you mean? Like, if I read scripture, I'm going to be deceived, or if I show up at church, I'm going to be deceived. And, James begins to, you know, kind of unpack this for us. And here's basically what he's going to tell us. He's going to start to tell us something that happens every single Sunday, like in every single church. And honestly, it happens all the way back to synagogue culture. I mean, like, this is something that has been passed on and passed on and passed on to the point that now it's kind of this great deception. In fact, many of you, you know, when you were younger, you bumped up against this deception. You bumped up against this idea and you went, that doesn't work. Like, there's no way that's how this thing works. And in fact, that's why you decided not to follow Jesus. Because it was like, that doesn't make any sense. Surely smart people don't actually think that. And here's the deception. The deception that James is talking about is somehow we've kind of all bought into this idea that, like, if we're in the building, you know, like if we're in the house of God, that, like, we get some kind of credit with God. That, like, if we just listen to enough sermons, like maybe instead of listening to the radio in the morning, if we would listen to a sermon on the way to work, or like if we would, you know, study a little bit longer, somehow this, like, showing up and listening, like, impresses God. Like, and I think this is where this thought that God is the, you know, the big man upstairs, you know, has kind of come from. It's where it's kind of crept into our theology or to what we think when we think about church. This idea that God's sitting somehow up in heaven, like looking down and like all the angels are around him. You know, you got the picture. And it's like this idea has crept in that God's like, oh, look, like Tim's in church. Tim hasn't been in church in ages. Like, guys, look, it's Tim. You know what Tim's gonna need tomorrow? That mall is crazy busy. He's gonna need a good parking spot. Better parking spot for Tim tomorrow. Or like, oh, it's Sue. Guys, Sue showed up in the house. Like, this is like the third sermon she's listened to this week. Like, guys, Sue's got a big promotion coming. Promotion granted. You know, and like we hear that, and we're like, well, that doesn't make any sense. But like we all like kind of we fall into that thinking, right? And then we add these other weird things on top of church, like as if church wasn't weird enough. Like we add these things, like when people like me get up here and preach, you know, and you walk away and you're like, man, that was good. And like, you know how it was good? Not today. I mean, obviously not today. But like, you know how you know it's good? Like if I can make you feel like a loser husband. You know, if I can make you feel like a failure as a mom, you know, you're like, man, the more guilt, the more close to God I feel. Like that was, he was on it today or she was on it today. Like what is, that's weird. Like, why do we do that? And then others of you, you grew up in a culture where church took like all day. You know, I'm talking like you could show up an hour late because there was still 3 hours left. And then there was night church. You know, like, I mean, it was like, and somehow if church took all day or like we showed up all the time or we listened to a certain number of sermons or the preacher was able to make me kind of feel something, like somehow, like all of that would work, you know, together. And James would say to like, hey, you've got it wrong. Like you're deceiving yourself. Like you're trying to draw value from something that there's no value in. Like you're trying to pretend like that's going to lead you somewhere or going to lead you to, you know, the life you've always wanted. He's like, man, that's not how this works. James goes on and he says this. He's like, hey, do what it says. Like, don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Just do what it says. And I really did. I spent way too much time this week thinking, like, how do I unpack that for them so that could really come to life? Because like, that's his point. And I got nothing. Like, just basically it's Nike. Like, just do it. Like, that's what he's saying. Like, hey, don't just deceive yourselves. Like, hey, you have to do it. And then he gives this, like, incredible illustration that really kind of makes this whole thing come to life. He says, those who listen to the word but do not do what it says, they're like people who look at their faces in a mirror, and after looking at themselves, they go away and they like immediately forget what they look like. And basically, James is saying that like a person who shows up, you know, in a room like this or in any kind of context like this, who shows up and listens to what they need to do, and then turns around and walks out the door like unwilling to do anything about it or not planning to do anything about it, is exactly like a person who wakes up, like gets out of bed, walks into the bathroom, sees themselves in the mirror, and goes, "Oh, wow, I should fix that." Like, and then goes to work without ever like doing anything about the morning, "Oh, wow." Like, you don't do that, right? Like, nobody walks into the mirror and goes, "Ooh, man, that needs some attention. Well, let's go on about the day." Like, after about 13 years old, that stops, right? I mean, like, you all of a sudden care what you look like, what your breath smells like, if the makeup's right, if the hair's right. Like, it's got to be just right before you walk out of the bathroom. I mean, come on. Like, I could go to your bathroom right now, which would be weird. We're not going to do that. But, like, I could go there, and I bet you have hundreds of dollars worth of product just for the "oh, wow" that you experience every single morning, right? Like, you travel. I know you do this because I do it. You travel with an "oh, wow" bag so that you can look great while you're on vacation or while you're on that business trip. Like, James is saying, hey, we spend more time and we have a bigger commitment to fixing what's in the physical mirror than we do to fixing what's in our heart. We're more worried about what this looks like, that this is all right, than we are with what's going on in here. And every single one of us do this, like me included. Every single one of us has sat in rooms like this and gone, "Oh, wow, like I need to work on that. Like, oh, wow, I need to stop that." Or, oh, I wish I was more disciplined in that area. Or I wish I should pick up that. Or I should put down that. Or I should get rid of them. Or they're not right for me. We do this every single week. We go, "Oh, wow, like that right there would change everything." But then we get up, and like we go about our day, and we just kind of walk out as if everything's going to somehow get better without us actually doing something. And James would say, guys, whether your hair is perfect or your makeup is just right is never, ever, ever going to impact the quality and the direction of your life. But what we learn when we come face to face with what Jesus has to say, what we learn when we come face to face with what Peter and James and Mark and Luke and Matthew have to say, what we learn and then what we do with what we learn, what we learn about our marriages, what we learn about our finances, what we learn about our weekends, our entertainment, our decision-making, what we learn about that and what we do absolutely will change the quality and the direction of our lives. I mean, some of us have been carrying around the same old stupid habits and overindulgences, you know, for years. And every time it comes up, every time we come face to face with it, it's like looking in the mirror and we go, "Whew, I need to do something about that. That's a side of me that I don't like." And James would just simply say, like, hey, until you do, it's great to acknowledge it. It's great to intend to. It's great to believe something new about it. But like, until you actually do something about it, you're deceiving yourselves. Like you're tricking yourselves if you think it's actually going to get better. And then he dives into really what is it's my favorite part of this whole passage. And when I read this, you're gonna kind of push back, and I get it. You're gonna go, "You are such a geek." Like, it's okay. I'm the pastor, but I think this is incredible. This is one of those things that when I read this, I'm like, I love the New Testament. Like, I just love what Scripture has to say. And here's what James says. He says, "But those who look intently into the perfect law that gives freedom." Now, isn't it interesting that James describes the law, like he describes Scripture as freeing? Like, isn't that fascinating? I mean, what do we think about when we think Scripture, right? We think narrow. I mean, we think restrictive. I mean, let's be honest. Like, we think never going to have fun again. Like, are you kidding me? Like, isn't that why some of us push back? Isn't that why some of us don't follow Jesus and don't want to apply the things that we read? Because honestly, just following Jesus seems kind of dreadful. Like we've actually met some Christians and they seem pretty dreadful. Like they seem to be terrible people. And we're like, I don't know. I'm not interested if that's what it looks like. And we just kind of push back, right? Like, but here's why I love this passage. When I first learned that God had some things to say about how I could control my money so that my money would never control me. When I first learned that, when I first learned that God cared enough about me to say, hey, I don't want your money to ever have possession over you. I want you to have rule over your money. And here's how you do it. You give away 10% and you get to live off of the 90. Like when I first heard that, I thought no big deal. because I had no money, like I had no job. Like, of course it was no big deal, right? But then I started making some money and I'm like, okay, 10%, that's, we can handle that. And then start making a little bit more, start making a little bit more. And now all of a sudden 10% sounds like a big deal. And that means this may have to change, or this may have to change, or this may have to change. And like, but I just did it. I just applied because I trusted that he knew what he was talking about. I trusted that he was smarter in this area than I was. And you know what? He absolutely was. Like, it led to a freedom like none other. You know what's not freeing? Debt up to here, right? Like, that's not freeing. You know what's not freeing? Absolutely no margin. Like having more month than you have money is not a freeing feeling, is it? Like, we could go on and on. Like, you can do whatever you want with your body. You know that? You have the freedom to. You're an adult. Like, you can make that decision. You can decide, I'm going to drink as much as I want. I'm going to smoke as much as I want. I'm not going to exercise. I'm going to eat whatever the heck I want to, because I'm an adult and I can do whatever I want. And you absolutely can. You have that freedom. But one day, you will wake up and you will realize that your body will no longer give you the freedom to do whatever it is you want to do. And that's why I love this passage, because basically James is unpacking for us all of those things that make us push back, all of those things that make us resist. And he's saying, guys, trust me, listen to me, listen, there is freedom when we apply these things. There is freedom when we live our lives aligned with the way that God has laid out for us. It's like forgiveness. It doesn't make any sense, right? Like, on paper, none of us would forgive anybody, right? Like, what makes sense? You hurt me. That means you have to come to me. You have to make this right with me. Like, it is all on you, and I'm just going to be mad at you until you do. Let me ask you a question. Like, anybody ever been in bondage to anger? Like, is there freedom in that? Like, no, there is not freedom in that. And I'm telling you, I have been at this long enough that I am more convinced than ever that James is absolutely right. Like, when we apply the things that Jesus is talking about, all of a sudden, we find this liberty that we didn't even know was possible. All of a sudden, we find a freedom that we didn't know we could experience it. Not initially. Initially, it does not feel like that, but eventually, we feel it. And then he goes on and he continues. He says, but those who look intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continue in it, not forgetting what they have heard. In other words, those who are willing to stare at and study and dive into and really dig into what it is that Jesus is talking about. Those who are willing to continue in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but here it is again, doing it, they will be blessed. And there's the promise. Like, hey, when you're willing to apply these things, when you're willing to begin to not only believe some new things or think some new things, but when you're willing to start doing new things based off of this new belief, that's when the difference happens. That's when the life you've always wanted starts to happen. That's when the fewer regrets happen. That's when the better decisions start to occur. Now, at the end of what I think was probably his most famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, the sermon that Jesus preached that is recorded for us in Matthew, that all of us could go back and we could spend like all of our lives reading and going, oh, like, I should work on that. You know, oh, I should do that. That sermon, this kind of most powerful sermon, this is how Jesus wraps it all up. He says this, he says, therefore, like in light of everything he had just taught them in that sermon, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, that's the listening part. Like, there's the important, like, everybody who hears these things and puts them into practice, there's the doing part. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man, which isn't that what we all want? Like, we want to be wiser. We want to be wise men and women. We want to make wise decisions. It's like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Now, if you grew up in church, you've probably heard that taught a lot. And I bet what you've heard taught was that, like, you build your house on the rock because it's a strong foundation, and then the wind will come and the waves will come and the water will rise and your house will be standing there, but the one who built it on the sand, like, it's going to all wash away. 100% true. That is exactly why you build your life or your house upon the rock. But here's what we never talk about. We never talk about how hard it is to do that, right? Like, it is infinitely harder to build a house, to build anything. Like, have you ever tried to dig in rock? I mean, it is infinitely harder to dig in rock than it is in sand. It is infinitely harder to build your life on this type of a foundation that we've been talking about. That's why so many of us hear this and we immediately start to push back. We immediately start to back up and we start to go, I'm having financial problems. You want me to give away money to solve my financial problem? That doesn't make sense. I'm not gonna do that. You want me to forgive somebody who hurt me? Like you have no idea what you're asking me to do. And we continue to push back. You want me to submit to somebody who's in authority over me? No. That's not how I want to do this. That doesn't make sense. That seems way too difficult. And this is why Jesus made up this silly story. Like, it's literally just a silly story to remind us that we're building our life on a foundation, and it's going to be hard, but it's going to be worth it. It's not gonna be easy, it's going to be hard. And listen, I know it's hard. I've been doing this just like you have. I know it is hard to get out of that relationship. I know it's hard to look at that relationship and decide, this is not a healthy relationship for me. I cannot do this any longer. I know it's hard to stay in some of those relationships, to continue to fight for that relationship because that's the person and that's the thing you're supposed to do. I know it's hard to show up at work and be the only person committed to doing what's right. The only person who's willing to take responsibility and accountability to say, you know what? Even if I never get ahead, even if it costs me my career, I'm going to do what's right. I'm not going to cut corners. Listen, I know it's hard to look at a group of friends and say, hey, you're not leading me in the direction that I want to go. And I can't do that anymore. Listen, this is why I tell you this story. Because here's what's going to happen, because it happens every single Sunday. Every single one of us are going to get up and we're going to walk out of here and we're going to get ready to go about our normal lives. And you've got things to do and people to see and places to go. And the temptation is going to be to walk out of here and have heard a lot. And then go, you know what? It's just too hard to try to do any of that. Like it's too hard to try to apply some of that to my life. Like if I start applying that stuff to my life, it's gonna mess up everything. And I my life's not gonna look anything like it does right now. That's why I tell you this story. So that when you do walk out of here and it does start to get hard, because it will, you will remember that you are building your life on this foundation, on this promise that will sustain you and hold you forever. And when you do, God's promise to you and his promise to me is, hey, when you do that, when you trust me like that, when you're willing to acknowledge me in all of your ways, and then not just trust me, not just believe a few things, but you're willing to actually do something about it, you give me this freedom to work in your life in ways that you never knew possible. You give me the opportunity to heal you in ways that you didn't think were possible. You allow me to restore some things and renew some things that desperately need some attention. You allow me to work in your life and in your past and in your future in ways that you could only hope for. Listen, over the past 2 weeks, we've had a lot of fun, right? I mean, the stuff that we've put around this thing has just been so much fun. But let's be honest for a second. Like, we've talked about some challenging things. Like, none of this is easy. That's why we've tried to make it as fun as possible, because it's not easy to decide I need to think differently. Like, it's not easy to decide I need to believe some things differently. It's hard to look at all the different aspects or arenas of our life and start picking out the ones where we go, I don't like to trust God with that. I don't want to give God access to that. It's hard to start to step towards him and say, hey, can I trust you with this? Can I trust you with my marriage? Can I trust you with my relationships? Can I trust you with my finances? That's not an easy decision. But it's infinitely harder once we do that to then decide to do something about it. Like once we decide we're gonna believe something differently about it, man, it gets so much harder then when we start actually changing things in our life to line up with the things that we believe. Come on, none of this is easy. Like, I don't want you to consider this. There's no way I would try to convince you that you should do this because this is easy. I'm not up here asking you to consider this because it's easy. I want you to do this because I want the best life possible for you. It's better than that. Like, your heavenly Father wants the best life possible for you. He doesn't want you to wake up one more morning with that pit in your stomach, looking back or looking around and asking yourself, like, am I stuck in a joke? Like, Is this some kind of a joke? Like, how did that happen? He doesn't want you to spend another second of your life like that. I'm telling you this because this is how you get off the treadmill. This is how you stop that cycle. This is how you have fewer regrets. This is how you make better decisions. This is how you stop feeling like you're messing everything up and that you could actually have the life that you wanted. You step towards your Heavenly Father. You take a step towards Him. You begin to believe some new things. You begin to think some new things. And then you do what He says. You do what your faith implies and demands that you do. But you know what? So many of us fall into this place where we're going to push back on that, where we want to resist that, where we're just not sure it's worth it. Because, you know, for so many of us, the reason that we don't want to do the things that we read about or we want to do the things that God has laid out for us is because we're afraid. Like, we're afraid of what it's going to cost us. We're afraid of what it's going to look like. We're afraid of what other people may think of us. We're afraid that it may mess up everything in our lives, that it may not actually work. And that fear keeps us from doing something about it. But listen to me, until we do, until we're willing to actually take the practical steps to begin changing some things. Listen, it's just like building your house on the sand. Like, it may be easier. It may work out right now, but eventually, this is the deception James was talking about. Eventually, it may all come crashing down. And I don't want that for you. I want you to live the life that you've always wanted. I want you to live a life with fewer regrets. And this is the way you do it.
Well, once again, thanks for listening. If you live in or near the city of Decatur, we would love for you to attend one of our weekend gatherings at Decatur City Church. For information, service times, and information about our fabulous children's environments and our student environments, visit us at DecaturCity.org. That's DecaturCity.org.